We're going to finish our study of Ruth. If you're visiting with us for the first time, a special welcome to you. During this Advent season, these Sundays before Christmas, we have been looking at and studying together the book of Ruth, a story that also took place in the town of Bethlehem so long ago. So I invite you to listen once again as the story is read, Ruth chapter 4.
And now, as Paul Harvey says,
stay tuned for the rest of the story.
When Naomi and Ruth returned to Bethlehem
in search of food in the midst of a famine,
they found so much more.
They found hope.
They found peace.
They found love.
They found joy.
But their story doesn't end there.
Naomi's baby boy, Obed, was the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David.
This is the family tree of Perez. Perez had Hezron, Hezron had Ram, Ram had Amminadab, Amminadab had Nahshon, Nahshon had Salmon, Salmon had Boaz, Boaz had Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David.
And David became king. David had Solomon, Solomon had Rehoboam, Rehoboam had Abijah, Abijah had Asa, Asa had Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat had Joram, Joram had Uzziah, Uzziah had Jotham, Jotham had Ahaz, Ahaz had Hezekiah, Hezekiah had Manasseh, Manasseh had Amon, Amon had Josiah, Josiah had Jeconiah and his brothers. And then the people were taken into the Babylonian exile. When the Babylonian exile ended, Jeconiah had Shealtiel, Shealtiel had Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel had Abiud, Abiud had Eliakim, Eliakim had Azor, Azor had Zadok, Zadok had Akim, Akim had Eliad, Eliad had Eleazar, Eleazar had Matan, Matan had Jacob, Jacob had Joseph, Mary's husband, and the Mary who gave birth to Jesus.
The Jesus who is called Christ.
And so this story of finding hope, peace, love, and joy is not just Naomi's story or Ruth's story. It is our story too.
So this morning, we come to the end of the story of Ruth. During the past few weeks before Christmas, during this period of Advent, we've been reading through Ruth together. That other story that took place in Bethlehem. And like every great story, the story of Ruth has three things that make it great. First of all, the story has conflict, adversity, and strife that must be overcome and dealt with. All great stories have some sort of trouble that must be overcome. And the story of Ruth, we've learned, has plenty of this. Death, sorrow, famine, depression, loneliness, the will and the struggle to survive. It's all in there, isn't it? Second, like every great story, the story of Ruth is full of steadfast love, commitment, provision, and faithfulness. The story of Ruth has tremendous examples of both the love that people have for one another, but also the steadfast love that God has for people like you and me. All great stories have love within them, and the story of Ruth is no exception. And if you've never heard or read the entire story of Ruth, you have to read it. Sometime today, find 20 minutes and sit down and read it all the way through. Find the Bible and look up that story of Ruth. It's the eighth book in the Bible, immediately following the book of Judges. And if you don't have a Bible at home, there's a stack of them there. Take one. Merry Christmas. Take it with you so that you can read it. And as you read it, you'll see both the adversity that needs to be overcome and the steadfast love within this story of Ruth that makes it such a great story. The third and final thing that makes the story so great is the climactic and electrifying way that it finishes. As we listen to the narrators read the final part of the story this morning, didn't you just find yourself sitting on the edge of your seat with excitement, ready to jump up and down for joy? Like a few weeks ago, the Division III state finals football game, when it was 4th-and-2, and it was in overtime, and the game was on the line. What was going to happen? The excitement of the situation was just too great, and the crowd was standing on the edge of its seat. It was ready to pounce. The crowd was overcome with anticipation. The crowd was poised and ready to rejoice. They were just waiting for it to happen. The story of Ruth finishes just the same way, doesn't it? Listen again. Perez had Hezron. Hezron had Ram. Do you feel the excitement? All right, well, let me continue. Ram had Amminadab. And Amminadab had Nahshon. And Nahshon had Salmon. And Salmon had Boaz. Okay, how about now? Are you excited? Are you ready to jump out of your seat in order to celebrate and rejoice now? Some of you are probably thinking to yourself, I think Pastor Henry must have had some bad eggnog this morning. Excitement? Anticipation? Climactic and electrifying finish? Nope. Sorry, Pastor Henry. Boring genealogy at the end of some story about people who lived so very long ago is nearly as exciting as an overtime finish in the state football finals in Ford Field. My question to you is, are you sure about that? Are you sure that a boring genealogy is not as exciting as a state finals football game? One of the main purposes of Ruth is to teach us about God's faithfulness. Lawson Younger, in his comments on this final section of Ruth, says this. He says, in a fallen world that has lost direction and certainty, the book of Ruth and the story of Ruth reaffirms to us time and time again the sovereignty and providence of a faithfulness of our God. In the midst of our modern culture, our highly mobile urban society, a society that is crazy busy with work, that is plagued with financial debt, and stressed out with raising children in a violent and promiscuous society, he says it's easy for us in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all these stresses, to forget that the Lord is sovereign and in control and still providentially cares for His people. Do any of you here this morning resonate with what he says here? That it's easy for us to, in the midst of all these stresses, to forget that the Lord is sovereign and in control, and that He providentially cares for His people? The immediate concerns and the stresses and the problems in our lives have a way of taking over, don't they? And preventing us from experiencing and recognizing the providential work of God in our lives and the lives of those around us, don't they? Life's challenges and stresses can push God away or out of our life altogether. And as a result, before you know it, we can start thinking and believing that God doesn't care or isn't concerned or may even be the one that's causing the trouble. The story of Ruth, however, helps us see and know that God is very much present in the midst of our everyday lives. For example, in the midst of death and grief that Naomi experienced, God provides Naomi with Ruth, who commits to staying with her. In the midst of hunger and famine, God provides food again for His people in Bethlehem. When Naomi and Ruth return home to Bethlehem, God leads Ruth to glean in the field of Boaz. When asked about becoming a kinsman redeemer, about watching over and providing for Ruth, God leads Boaz to answer, "I will do it. I will do it." And in the midst of barrenness, God enables Ruth to conceive and to give birth to a son, Obed. Last week, Sunday night at MC Squared, and for those of you who don't know what MC Squared is, it's the time at Sunday evening when our small groups get together and our youth groups get together. Well, during MC Squared, during our Connections small group, we watched a video that talked about this very thing. The video talked about the ability to recognize the presence and faithfulness of God around us. in the video, Rob Bell compared the work and presence of God to music, to a song. He compared it to a song that is constantly playing in the background. Background music, if you will. Imagine yourself walking around the mall or in a department store. The background music is, it's always there. The presence and work of God, Rob Bell says, is kind of like that. The question, he says, is not whether or not the music is there. No, the question is, are we in tune with the song? Are we following the rhythm? Do we hear the music? Do we see how the music is playing itself on around us? Are we in tune with that? In the story of Ruth, we see God at work in and through people who are in tune with His song. We see God at work through the loving kindness that Ruth extends to Naomi, and that Boaz extends to Ruth. In the story of Ruth, God uses courageous people who are in tune with Him to accomplish great things. Robert Hubbard Jr. suggests in his commentary on these verses that this is an important theme for us today, that God uses faithful and ordinary people to do great things. God uses people who are in tune with Him to do things that heal and that restore and that change the world around us. The story of Ruth affirms for us God's faithfulness. The story of Ruth affirms for us that God is at work in the hearts and lives of His people. And this faithfulness enables us to rejoice and to celebrate. But the second thing that the story of Ruth does for us is that it affirms that God is faithful from generation to generation. In addition to helping us see how God works in the lives of specific people in a specific situation at a specific time, the other thing that the story of Ruth does for us is that it enables us to see God's faithfulness through all generations, including our own. The story of Ruth ends with a genealogy, a family tree. And by ending with a family tree, the author of the book of Ruth enables us to see how God's faithfulness in this specific story connects then with the larger story of God's people and His plan of redemption. Hubbard reminds us that one of the purposes of the book of Ruth is to show that the reign of King David, one of Israel's most revered and honored kings, resulted from neither his shrewd politics nor his clever tactics, but instead from the divine preservation of his worthy family line. Therefore, Israel was to accept David's kingship not on account of his talent and his skill, but as the gift of divine guidance. In light of this family tree connection, Hubbard reminds us that God's guidance takes on a new meaning. God's gracious care for two diverges as divine guidance for all of Israel. Why did David become king? Because God graciously cared for two widows three generations before he was even born. Without God's provision in Ruth and Naomi's life, David would not have become king. In fact, without God's grace and provision in the lives of Perez, Hezron, Ram, Aminadab, Nashon, Solomon, Boaz, Obed, whose mother was Ruth, and Jesse, David would not have become king. And what the writer of Ruth is trying to do here at the end of the story for us is show us the thread of God's faithfulness that continues from generation to generation. Got a Bible, open your Bible. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. If you're using one of the Bibles that was on the table, Matthew chapter 1 is found on, there's no page number on there. How about that? It's found on page 681. 681. Matthew in his gospel follows this thread of God's faithfulness for us even further. What do you see there in Matthew chapter 1? How does Matthew begin? He begins with a family tree. Have you ever wondered why Matthew starts his gospel with a family tree? I think Matthew starts with a family tree so that you and I can rejoice in God's faithfulness to his people through all generations. What do you see there? Look with me at that family tree. What do you see? What do you see in the list of names? Look at the very top there. Does that look familiar? I see some of the same names that the writer of Ruth used. Look at verses 3 through 6. Matthew takes that family tree and places it here, but then he doesn't stop with David. What does he do? He goes even further. All the way to Jesus. When I look at this family tree, I see God's faithfulness to a long list of people. When I look at this family tree, I see a diverse group of people, including Rahab, the prostitute, and Ruth, the Moabitess. Ruth from Moab. When I look at the names, I see that God's faithfulness extends to all kinds and all types of different people. People like you and me here. When I look at this family tree, I see that the kindness and love that God had for Naomi and Ruth so long ago was not just for them. It was all people, because through Ruth and Boaz came the ultimate Redeemer, Jesus, whom the angels declared to the shepherds on that night that he was born, that he would bring good news, right, of great joy that will be for all the people. Not just for a few people, but for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. And he is Christ the Lord. Matthew connects this good news of great joy that will be for all the people all the way back to Ruth, and to Boaz, and to Obed. Matthew creates a family tree, and not just any tree here, but a Christmas family tree. As I looked at this family tree in Ruth and in the Gospel of Matthew, a Christmas song came to my heart and mind. As I sing it, let me know if you are familiar with the song that came to my mind. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches. When I sing this song, this old Christmas tree, I'm not talking about some Fraser fir or blue spruce. No, I'm talking about this family tree in Ruth and in Matthew. I'm talking about the branches that the writers lay out for us here, and they allow us to see the branches of God's faithfulness and how it continues from generation to generation. Some of the lyrics of that song. Oh, Christmas tree, you are the tree most loved. How often you give us delight in brightly shining Christmas light. Oh, Christmas tree, you are the tree most loved. Oh, Christmas tree, your beauty green will teach me that hope and love will ever be the way to joy and peace for me. Oh, Christmas tree, your beauty green will teach me. A Fraser fir can't do that, can it? But this family tree can. This Christmas tree can. This is the tree that comes to my mind that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the shoot that will come up from the stump of Jesse that the prophet Isaiah refers to in Isaiah chapter 11 when he says this. He says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Does that name sound familiar? and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Who is this shoot that will come up from the stump of Jesse? Who is the one that Isaiah prophesies will come? It's Jesus. Matthew traces the line, it's Jesus. To end this morning, I want to read some comments that Lawson Younger makes about the family tree found at the end of Ruth. He says, this family tree should instill in us hope. When we live a life of personal piety, when we do hesed love, when we have steadfast love for others, loving one another within the community of faith, loving our neighbors, when we live a faithful life, he says there's an expectation that through God's sovereignty and his care, such a life will have impacts that go far beyond our lifetimes. Faithfulness in a particular place, in a particular time, in a particular situation is connected to something far greater. Faithfulness in Ruth and Boaz, right, leads all the way to faithfulness here today, to us. What he means is that by faithfully eyeing on God today, it doesn't only have immediate implications, right, but long-term generational ones as well. Today we celebrate and we rejoice on account of God's faithfulness so long ago, promises that he made and that he kept and that he continues to make today. God has been faithful, he is faithful, and will be faithful no matter what we may face or experience. The thread of God's faithfulness continues from generation to generation. From Abraham to Boaz and Ruth to Obed to Jesse to David to Solomon to Azor to Eliah to Mathan to Jacob to Joseph and Mary to Jesus who is Christ the Lord all the way to today. Every so often I ask myself, how is it that I am here today, at this time, at this place? How is it that I am a husband and a father and a pastor to a church? When I ask this question and I reflect on it, God often shows me the thread of his faithfulness. I am here today because of parents and grandparents and teachers and friends and classmates along the way. People who have been faithful. People who have told me about who Jesus is. When I pause and when I reflect like this, and I take time to look around, right, God enables me to see that who I am and who I am becoming is not only the result of his faithfulness to me, but also on account of the faithfulness of so many other people, whose lives and words and actions have shaped and molded and continue to form me into the person who I am today. God enables me to see a thread of faithfulness from generation to generation. A story that continues. Do you see that thread? Do you experience that thread? Have you embraced that faithfulness in your life? Pray with me. Father in heaven, we come before you now, having been encouraged by a genealogy to examine your faithfulness to us, your people, and not just us who are here today, but also the faithfulness that you've extended to people who have come before us. Love, mercy, and grace that's been extended It's been extended in the past. Grace from which we benefit here today. Lord, as we examine this thread, as we reflect upon it, it is my prayer that our hearts and our souls would be able to rejoice, that we would be able to rejoice at what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do. Lord, remind us of your steadfast love. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.